America Meditating Blog Talk Radio Show. We collect wisdom, hear stories, and inspire each other. I'm Sister Jenna. Tune in live from Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. Welcome to America Meditating. I'm your host, Sister Jenna, and we are broadcasting from your favorite meditation museum in the nation's capital, where our leaders are continuing to grapple with their power to choose, not being Democrat or being Republican, but just the power to choose to see how they can keep benefiting themselves and benefiting our country. To be a leader in a time like today requires a lot of sensitivity and a lot of observation of one's thoughts, and to see how these thoughts are actually guiding our intentions and our actions. So let us take a few moments of real silence within ourselves and allow our inner being to just let go of the names, the attachment to titles, and breathe in the energy of goodness and allow the divinity to emerge. Om Shanti. The time that we choose to be aware doesn't necessarily require me to just sit and meditate. But even while I walk and move around, I can be in a meditative awareness, which is awareness of the soul, the original, eternal, imperishable being of light. For a little while, I'd like to invite you to be present, to be here, and to be now. Allow your mind to settle in the moment, to relax. This meditation is about awareness. It's about becoming aware of your original and eternal self. It's about connecting to your truth. Let go of your name. And observe yourself feeling nameless. Let go of your gender to discontinue thinking you're a man or a woman. Let it go and observe how you would feel walking around without a gender. Let go of the role that you play and let go of the titles that you own. Observe how you're feeling as you are gradually letting go. Let go of your religion and put it aside just for now. And let go of your nationality and even the language that you're accustomed to. Imagine you have no name, gender, role, title, religion, nationality, or even a language. Ask yourself, how do you feel at this moment? And in this feeling, who would think of you, and who would you think of? The Supreme Soul would think of you, and you, the liberated soul, would think of the Supreme. In this state of absolute freedom, I am truly who I am. A free, peaceful, pure, immortal, and eternal soul. Allow yourself to just be absorbed in this awareness. This time,
the more we let go, the more we change. And the more we change, the more we realize that change is the inevitable force of our life and our world. You are listening to America Meditating, and I'm your host, Sister Jenna. You heard Message Home by Bliss, one of my favorite performers of all time. And also my favorite track on the Off to Work CD by Sister Jenna. I'm looking very forward to our guest on the show today, which would be James O'Dea, a man that I've been observing and I've met a few years ago through the Shift Network, and I continue to be touched by his ways and his words. And there's a book that I've had by my bed for quite some time called Cultivating Peace. And when I get James on the phone, I'm hoping that we can talk about the whole energy bouncer and the whole energy sponge and the energy zappers that he talks about. Thought is energy, and our world is governed by energy. And in the way that my thoughts are positioned inside of the soul, if energy is being supported by ALGI, an acronym I use all the time, anger, L for lust, G for greed, A for attachment, and E for ego. Well, that energy is not only zapping itself from me, but it's taking energy from everyone else around me. And I might camouflage it to some extent, but at the end of it all, I'll end up not becoming the winner of the game. And so we want to talk about energy today and a lot of things of our spiritual evolution and how we're growing through our unfolding stories. And before we go to James O'Dea on the call, we're going to go to our sister Gita, who I know is preparing for one of her sessions, and hear what she's got for us today for the show.
Love is in the air. Love is in the air. In the past decade, due to the number of natural disasters, man-made crises, the outpouring of prayers, meditations, and good wishes for humanity, have increased multifold. Not only multifold, but multi-millionfold. At this time, the air is full of love. Passing around the globe, circulating and permeating the air that we breathe. Today, let me feel that love in the air and add to it love in the air. Om Shanti.
I think you especially chose that one because of the little puppy called Love that has been all over the place lately. So thank you for that one. That was very sweet. So love is in the air, but why are we fighting so much? And why is everyone so at ease with themselves, especially in the midst of tension between them and another? Many times before we enter even a room, the attitude enters the room before we walk into it. What's that about? Isn't that the energy of thought? Isn't that our own soul's energy? Why is it that we can sense things that are about to happen, and we can even tune in more to the unspoken words of someone? We can feel someone's love without them telling us, and we can feel someone's dislike of us without them telling us. And they could be smiling like a million suns, but our heart or our souls can sense behind the smile might be the illusion of algae. We want to learn more about ourselves so we can make this world a better place, a place that we can leave on for our kids to live in and feel safe and taken care of. We want to cultivate a planet of peace by cultivating peace within ourselves. And today, James O'D is the lead faculty for the Shift Network's Peace Ambassador Training with hundreds of international participants around the world. He's a well-known figure in international social healing who has conducted reconciliation dialogues for over 15 years. He is also an extended faculty of the Institute of Noetic Sciences and is its former president. He currently serves as a member of the board of directors of the Temple of the Universe in Florida, is an advisory board member of the Peace Alliance, a wonderful organization, and an advisory to the Cosmos Journal. He has many published essays and several books, including his latest entitled Cultivating Peace, which I can't seem to put down. I've had this book for over a year. Phil Bob Helmick from the Shift Network offered me that book as a gift, and I can't tell you how many times I go back to it to just touch base on some of the thoughts that James shares in that book, and how helpful it is, especially in conflict areas, to really understand yourself and understand others. So his latest book entitled Cultivating Peace, Becoming a 21st Century Peace Ambassador, which I highly, highly recommend everyone to get that copy of that book. It has been heralded as a brilliant new roadmap for peace building by thought leaders, academics, and activists. And I am so touched to have my beloved brother on our America Meditating Show. Good morning, James, and thank you for joining us today.
Good morning, Sister Jenna. So good to be with you. They're really good.
Same here. And I still have the book next to my bed. James, I swear to you, I'm not a person who really dives much into many books and readings. However, and I'm not saying this because I love you and know you, I really feel this is an incredible piece of literature to help leaders. Every time I bump into a senator or a congressperson, I tell them about your book because I feel the roadmap that it really offers people to understand themselves and understand the shift of consciousness, it's all in this book, Cultivating Peace. And I thank you so much for allowing God's light and love to flow through you when you were writing this. It's a remarkable book. And you can ask Antonia. I very rarely ever say this. It really is.
Thank you.
How did you sit down? What was happening through you when the download started to come with Cultivating Peace?
Well, you know, my roots as an activist have been to connect with mysticism and activism. And mysticism is, the path of the mystic is that journey to the inner reality and to become more intimate with that inner reality. And the journey of the activist is to go out into the world, try to transform the ways of the world. And so the synthesis of the book has those elements in it. And of course, just seeing from an activist point of view that we live in a time when things are really transforming, when it amazes me how much good news gets underreported or not shared with people. People say to me, where's the peace movement? The peace movement has gone away. I go, no, no, no. The peace movement is stronger than it ever has been. It's now being practiced in people's homes, nonviolent communication, in schools, in offices. You know, it's moving inside the culture. And so that was part of the thinking, was to bring, in a book like Cultivating Peace, the synthesis of science, psychology, systems theory, spirituality, and say, look what we have at the table at the moment. We've scaled the walls of being opposed, against, shouting, screaming against war. We're now inside the culture, transforming it from the inside out. So even though there are still appalling and tragic things happening in the world, there's a great wave of new consciousness emerging.
Yeah, I believe that, and thanks to a lot of the work that you've been doing in the Shift Network and so many of the evolutionary leaders that exist and many, many people, grassroots folks, people who are just feeling that it's time for them to shift something within themselves so that they can contribute more to the society, and you've been dedicating your life to that. I want to go to something that I have been reading over and over again in the book. It's about the energy bouncer and the energy zappers, for example. And I'm just going to read this a little bit for everyone to hear. I would love for you to put it in proper context and energize us with its clarity. The energy bouncer, in situations of conflict, people come across as energy bouncers when they disguise or attempt to disguise the fortress of defenses they've created to deal with any incoming energy. It is as if they have made their emotional world off-limit and they are threatened by intimacy and deal swiftly with any perceived criticism. Could you share with us some more about that?
Yes, I think we're really beginning to understand that we have an energy processing body. We have an energy processing style that goes back to our early childhood and how we learned to deal with, you know, volatile energy as it came towards us. Did we push it away? Did we soak it up? Did we, you know, try to find distraction? And I think it's extraordinarily helpful for people to understand just how they've learned to process energy. Because the basic energy of the universe that comes at us in all kinds of forms, you know, whether sometimes it's hostile, sometimes it's seductive, whatever form it takes, it's really asking for our consciousness to transform that energy, to lift it up, to refine it, to make it more peaceful, to make it more connected. And so, yes, the energy bouncer is somebody who thinks that, you know, anything that's threatening or that's, you know, going to make them question their own identity should be just pushed back, sometimes at twice the velocity that it's been sent, but to make sure that you got that in your face. You know, I'm safe now because I've pushed this energy away. Of course, that's an optical illusion of consciousness, because that energy is not actually going anywhere. It may actually, you know, take the form of hostility to others, but ultimately, that energy is going to bounce back on the person who thinks they've bounced it and pushed it away. And and then, you know, the energy sponge is one I like to talk about in relationship to the peace activist, because so often we think that taking on more, doing more, is going to be the solution, that, you know, we're just supposed to be sponges and we should feel guilty if we're not doing more and more and more. And the Catholic theologian Thomas Merton said, you know, that's really a form of violence to the self. There is a way in which we have to not just take on more and then become burnt out and oversaturated like the sponge that just can't take another drop. We have to do self-nurturing, self-care, cultivate that inner peace and that responsiveness that says, what is needed at the moment for me to take a break is for me to step back, is for me to breathe more deeply into my heart.
I have to say this to you, that on my path of spiritual practice, I've even observed that within myself, where I don't say no to be of service to someone in need. And I found myself even having moments where I feel like, no, this is the role that I play. This is the part that is unfolding for me to be of service to others. And at the same token, I felt my own inner energy saying, but if you truly wish to be of service to others, you must be capable to serve yourself too. And I can so much resonate with the energy of the sponge. And at the same token, knowing that I have to squeeze myself out to receive from God so I can be of use when He needs to use me. And I loved that one too. The energy zapper, can you tell us about that one?
The energy zapper is, think of age 7 or around then, and you're faced with some disappointment. The energy bouncer will have a tantrum maybe and start shouting and screaming and blaming. The energy bunge will say, well, there was something wrong with me that my birthday party was canceled, or they'll take the, they'll internalize it completely. The energy zapper goes up to their room and gets the Coca-Cola and the candy and the, puts on the TV, anything to numb down and dumb down the energy. And of course, the great mystical truth of the universe is that when you absorb the pain and let it pass through you, not hold on to it, not become addicted to the identity of the victim, but to let it pass through you, it then ascends, it goes on a higher path. And the energy zapper later in life is taking marijuana or an alcohol in extremes, is looking for any distraction to numb down and dumb down that energy. And all we can say really in advice to the energy zapper is, it's okay to feel the pain. And the heart is a great transformer. It takes the pain even sometimes as a gift and says, now you have opened me. Now you've shown me how I have this capacity to take on not only my own pain but others' pain and transform it. So great story for each of those energy processing styles. And the ultimate one is that transformer, the one who's always transforming the energy, that gross, hostile, aggressive, you know, vulgar, whatever form it takes, that crude, raw energy, and says, we can refine it, we can make it so that we can share the energy together and it will be peaceful and loving and compassionate and generative of creative action.
Thank you for that. And at some point, we all must reach to that stage of being transformers, sort of always being aware that we have a margin within all of us to keep upgrading ourselves and being better. And when I say better, I mean someone whose capacity of being generous and bestowing love and compassion means I'm getting better. I think this very strongly in myself. If I can keep giving more love and selflessly expecting it in return from anyone, for me that becomes a signal. You're growing. You're increasing your margin of being better. Would you agree?
Yes, I think that's a wonderful definition. And I would just say that what we experience in the heart of compassion and love is reciprocity, is the flow of the universe. That's why when we're in that rhythm of serving greater cause of peace and so on, in a way we receive back. So we tap into that reciprocal flow. If it's always a one-way street, then we sort of become martyrs or whatever. But it's that combination, I think, Sister Jenny, that you and I understand, the deep connection between mysticism and activism. As the Dalai Lama says, it's not enough to be compassionate. One must act. Because when we act, we get that reciprocity from the universe. We get feedback. And if we listen to the feedback, then we recalibrate our act and connect it again with the inner and the outer. That's why it's such an exciting day for the peace movement, that we really are bringing together inner peace and outer peace and showing that they're absolutely related. And when we do, we can begin to end the intergenerational transmission of the wounds that corrosively, you know, violate peace and well-being for the planet. And I see that is happening. It's the hidden story. It's the untold story. Beneath the radar screen of all the bad news, there is the interruption of the transmission of woundings in so many areas as we begin to become more tolerant, more accepting, more connected to each other. Don't you think so?
I agree. There are times that the obvious, which is the ALGI, the acronym I use all the time, anger, lust, greed, attachment, and ego, is very obvious. I feel, though, as well, those who are at the confluence of their dark to their light state of the soul are very aware. They're very aware of this incredible movement towards internal peace, knowing that that's going to be the rule of thumb where we're going to change this whole narrative. and bring this whole global culture of peace in front of our own eyes at some point. And yes, it's a profound time for anyone in the peace movement or for anyone who just wants their own inner peace to be aware that there's so much supported by a huge community. Tell me a little bit about being the lead faculty for the Shifts Network Peace Ambassador Training Program. I know that's been doing very well.
Yes, it's a 16-week course, and we have five pillars, the pillar of inner peace and the exploration of that, the science of that, the spirituality of that. And we look at another pillar called wounding and healing, and then a third pillar on communicating peace, nonviolent communication, dialogue, and we go further out into systems thinking. Well, how is the whole weave of systemic transformation possible? So we're really moving from that inner plane all the way out into systems transformation. And then the final pillar is action. What am I called to do? How can I serve? What are the creative things that I can do for peace? And people are so wonderfully creative, and it's so exciting to see that after taking a course like this, the course says, okay, now, Madam or Mr. Ambassador, it's time for you to act. Where are you going to place the focus of your act? I think it's a wonderful course. We have had students from various parts of the world. We even have a student from North Korea in the current class. And I think that's all to have a global classroom.
Mm-hmm. Very important. You know, you touched on an area of the training of being wounded, and many of us are called to confront maybe the foundation of our wounds or the foundation of where our fear or inability to trust our own selves or trust others. And a part in your book, I think it's on page 76, you stated, fear is often the anxious neighbor of our wounds. And fear can be subtle and deadly at the same time. And you ask everyone to name their fears. Fear seems to be quite rampant in our world's story. It's this energy that lives in our minds. And it's, I like the way that you put it, there are wounds. There are wounds. And these wounds tend to emerge when you confront a particular situation or circumstance as your life is unfolding. And what's incredible to me is how something in what I can say maybe many lifetimes ago that transpired in you, that the soul still has this habit of holding on to that fear. Is there a method that you have used to soften the blow of the wounds in your consciousness or to reduce the blows of the wounds in your consciousness that you could share with our listeners?
Well, we certainly, in that first pillar, look at heart-centered meditation, the whole science of heart math, because what we want to have happen in any given situation is that we want to avoid being triggered ourselves. We want those wounds not to be triggered. And we've found that the science really confirms what spiritual people have known for a long time, is that the heart is the center of the story. When the heart can feel warmth and love and peace breathing deeply into the heart, it changes the biochemical brew of activation in the body that triggers the adrenaline or the cortisol or the amygdala response, all of those things. So we say, it's my responsibility to make sure that I don't trigger those ancient wounds in myself. And the more that happens, of course, we literally create the neurological circuitry, the biochemistry of peace in our bodies, and our default response, instead of fear, becomes attention, awareness, non-judgmental listening, deep presence for another being, empathy, and compassion.
That's beautiful. Beautiful, because there's so much wound in the world, as well as so much courage and faith and perseverance. And I've often found the incredible recording in the human soul. As subtle as it is, it can manifest itself in very gross ways, even unknown to the manifester, but very obvious to the observer. Have you ever, in your personal story, observed yourself living a moment of illusion, and when you observed your illusion, Were you able to combat that by going back to what your essence is, where you could really go into what your true sense of yourself is for you?
Well, I had this experience when I was in Amnesty International of being invited to a Jewish synagogue outside of Washington, D.C., a very large one, and giving a talk on the death penalty. And after the talk, an old woman stood up, and as she stood up, I saw from the markings on her arm that she was a Holocaust survivor. And she was very angry, and she said, you know, I don't think we should execute young children, but those Nazis, I would personally take them and personally strangle them. And she was very angry, and she made a strangling motion with her hands, and she was tense and vibrating like a leaf with anger and hostility. And I first felt those triggers going off, going into the illusion that somehow she and I were on opposite sides. And that's what the body can do. It can trigger in that way. And I just paused and breathed. And while I did, I looked at her. And I looked at her essence, sort of connected at the level of that. And then I said to her, oh, no, you wouldn't. You're the most beautiful person. You wouldn't hurt a fly. And she looked at me like a young woman who was being courted. And she said, oh, stop it, stop it. And she sat down, and everybody laughed. And See, what I did in that moment was I overcame my own illusion of separation and polarity. I saw her at the essence, and I saw the very thing the Nazis denied. I saw her beauty as a human being. And once I got to that place wherein the essence of her beauty was recognized, she was totally disarmed. She was totally beautiful again, because that's where the wound lay, which was to be told by the Nazis, you're ugly, you're disgusting, you should be exterminated. Truly, when we can live out of essence and see the essence of the other people, we can unify at levels we never thought possible.
That's a beautiful story. You're really awakening the consciousness in people, and sometimes I always observe that it's great to have individuals who can shift us, but the real shift has to happen within ourselves on our own, not always waiting for someone to do that, but we have to keep grabbing onto that inner capacity that we carry as living beings of light and living energies.
Indeed, beautifully said.
Awaken global consciousness, I know, is something that you're very much invested in. How can our listeners contribute to that process of waking up the world consciously, one person at a time?
Well, I think there is that sense of looking for the positive and affirming it. And many will tell us, from science to mystic, that gratitude is a doorway in. My dear friend Sequoia Trueblood has a simple prayer that he prays every day. Great thanks, great peace, great love. So when the cup of thanks is filled, we really can find things to be grateful for in a world that sometimes is too busy to be grateful. We begin to see that there is an affirmation that is so powerful that when it's full, when you feel that gratitude, it starts to fill the cup of peace. If you're ungrateful and unsatisfied and never really thankful for what is given, and you can't get to peace, you're too disturbed. And when the cup of peace begins to fill, it fills over and it fills into that cup of love, that cup of connectivity with other beings. So I think that is a simple prayer, and it's a simple stance in consciousness to say, I am grateful, I am peaceful, and I am loving. Great thanks, great peace, great love. And as we start to look through that optic, the world is transforming. If we stay in the other optic, you know, our challenge is always to be able to understand the nature and the scale of our problems, but not to put our energy inside the problem, to put our energy inside that energy of thanks, peace, and love, put our energy inside the solutions that are unfolding, the solutions that the whole creative force of the universe and the cosmos is offering to us. Those solutions are there. They're rich, they're deep, they're practical, they're alive for us. And what happens is our energy can gravitate to putting our opposition into the problem rather than accepting that there are, in fact, mighty and beautiful and wonderful solutions for us to partake of.
Mm, that's beautiful, James. Beautiful. Can we find out how our listeners can get a hold of some of the things that you'd like them to participate in? And can we close off together with a few moments of silence for our world to become a place of love and harmony?
Absolutely. So they can go to jamesode.com. That's jamesode.com. And there's information there about the Peace Ambassador Training, about Cultivating Peace, my book, and other connections.
Mm, beautiful, James. It's been lovely having you on, and I would like for us to do a part two with this. Do you think it'll be possible?
Sure. I love you and your work and your great centered being of peace, and thank you so much for the privilege of this conversation.
The feelings are so mutual. Just hold on for me for a few moments and just let us say goodbye to all of our beautiful listeners. You've been listening to America Meditating with my beloved brother and peace angel, I'm going to call him, James O.D. And if you'd like some more information, do visit him on his website, jamesodea.com, and find out more about what he's up to. But more than anything else, everyone, please pick up a copy of Cultivating Peace, Becoming a 21st Century Peace Ambassador. You do not need to be a peace activist, per se, but if you're interested in making your life better, to move out of the fear, to let your energies get used in the right way, check James's book out. It'll make a difference for you. I'm Sister Jen, and we're going to close our show with just a few moments of beautiful silence, and then we're going to play This Love by Bliss as we continue to be instruments of love and light and peace to our world. Take care, everyone.